Welcome to the Twice Over Movies podcast. If you're new here, check out our website at thetwiceover.com to get a better understanding of how we do our movie reviews. Our goal is to provide insight on elements of a movie which you consider more or less important so that our scores are never misleading. Remember to follow us at The Twice Over on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and support us on Patreon.
This is a spoiler alert. This is your fair warning. If you haven't watched the movie, go watch it. And then come back and listen later. All right, Fahad, what do you want to discuss right now?
I guess how the movie was constructed as a Greek tragedy. So it had traditional elements of it, right? It was told as almost a poem. The movie opens up. He's telling a poem. It's a Homeric figure. Movie ends with the same dude telling of the same story. It was extremely predictable, right? There's no element of like, oh, I didn't expect this to happen, yet it was still intriguing. That stems from like, it's not about like the what, because we know what's gonna happen. It's about how it all unfolds.
Yeah, it's not about what's gonna happen, but like how it affects the characters or the community or the society, right? Like you said, it is a tragedy. It has like the classic elements. I wanted to talk about one character that is, I guess, accelerating this tragedy. And that would be Leonidas.
Hated that character. Yeah.
I didn't understand like, again, this is one of the flaws, I guess, of the movie is he's pretty important to the story, but we know so little about the character himself. We just know he's kind of an alcoholic. From a young age, he was like drinking. But like, what makes him who he is? Like,
why is he so vile?
Yeah. So why is he so vile? Why is he such a prick to others?
I would chalk it up to the corrupting influences of the money. He's just, you know.
No, but like he was like that as a kid too.
As a kid, no. He was more about like enthusiastic, trying to get involved.
He had anger even as a kid, man.
As a kid,
so the very first scene when his sister Zaida is
dancing with him.
Yeah, dancing with him, and he like you know trips and falls.
Yeah,
like people laugh.
Oh, he was embarrassed.
Yeah, but he like takes it like he's clearly taking it harder than he should.
Yeah.
When there's that horse race.
Yeah.
No, sorry, not the horse race.
Yeah, well, it's like a donkey race.
Oh, yeah, it was a horse race, and he's like upset about not coming in first.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's that one scene, I think it's during the funeral of his dad, right? Of Ursula's husband.
What happened? Ursula's.
When he's sitting with the other kids and he's taking shots of whatever drink that they're drinking. And she has to come up to him and say, stop.
Oh, because he waves around a gun, right?
No, that's when he's an adult or I guess young adult. I'm talking about when he was still a kid.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah, I remember now.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, he just had it in him and they didn't like really show us why or how he became that way. Basically, they're planting the seed from the beginning saying like, hey, this guy is going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And no one
seems to address it, right? The mother, Ursula, she doesn't address it. And
that was
a fatal flaw. I think it was, I chalked it up to her devotion to family. No, like all sins are forgiven if they're your family. And that's why she didn't discipline him and that's why he became so
corrupt. And also because he's now the man of the tribe itself. Like he's the...
Oh yeah, that's her son. Her daughter is married into that dude's family, Rapiat's. So yeah,
that leads me to a scene that was just disgusting. Vile is the right word. When he forces one of the men in Annabelle's family to eat dog shit,
right, for money, right?
Yeah, for money.
Mm-hmm. And I think what he was demonstrating there was how money is king.
How the power lies where the money is, and he has it.
Yeah,
I mean, he's doing it to like show his power as if it's impressing the girl that he wants to impress, and he ends up raping and causes the war.
Yeah,
man, he was just rough character. I just wish they did a little more to
soften him up.
Not soften him up, but like give us an idea into why he is who he is.
Okay.
I just felt it was he was there to
as a plot device.
Yeah, he's antagonizing like the Harmony, right?
Yeah.
That they're everyone's making money, they're doing well. Of course, they're still struggling with their own tradition versus like the whatever comes from money and the modern way of life. And so I had to look this word up. Alihuna?
Oh, yeah. It means outsider or person of destructive tendencies, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like a racist term.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's generally used to describe people of European descent in Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
And so what did you think of the relationship between Rafael and Moises?
Oh, I thought it was a great relationship. It was almost, they were almost brothers, right? They called each other brothers. At least Moises was calling him Rafael, his brother. Mm-hmm. And it was such a tragedy that he had to kill him. And I felt that in that moment, after he killed Moises, Rafael just became a soulless, uninteresting character, just because he, after that point, he was just like haunted by Moises. He mentions he's not getting sleep, mentions how he's already dead.
Yeah, and, well, not how he's dead, but his soul is dead.
His soul is dead, right.
How he's hallucinating, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't tell what kind of bird that is. Is that like a stork or something that he's just seeing?
You know, we only see the bird's feet, right?
Bird's feet, yeah. And like I think like a shadow here and there, but like, yeah, I'm wondering if like that's Moises, or because he's like talking to Moises. He's like,
oh yeah, in the very spooky scene, right? Rapiath is facing away from the door, and Ursula's walking mm-hmm. in, and Rapiath's talking away to no one seated across him. Yeah, it was a very nice scene. Yeah, I like how the dead linger on. I'm not familiar here with Wayuu culture, but I bet this is part of their mysticism, right? Their beliefs that the dead linger on.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, it was just taken away that Rapa is just haunted by killing Moises. I mean, he's clearly a very peace-loving guy. Like he's doing everything in his power to avoid
conflict,
any kind of death.
Yeah.
And even when Moises messes up and kills the two Americans,
yeah,
Rapahat says, like, the Wayuu can't touch a murdered body, so you're going to have to bury them. Uh-huh. So he's, like, super traditional in that sense. And, I mean, I say he's super traditional, but he clearly believes it too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or else he wouldn't say something like that. He wouldn't say,
yeah, he'd help out. I thought that was one of the most funny scenes of the movie, the scene of what to do with the planes. They start hacking at it and burying yeah, it.
They bury the plane itself. Yeah.
So was there a little bit of symbolism there? Because a plane's a bird almost, and they're burying a bird.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of symbolism in this movie, and I'm not like too proud to say that most of it probably went over my head.
Same here.
Like I said, the cinematography, uh-huh. I gave it 100 because you can tell that the director is trying to convey something in almost like every shot.
Yeah.
And it's like impossible to pick it up on just like watching it and trying to enjoy the movie. But if you wanted to, you can definitely go back and like study it and pick up everything.
Mm.
And I did actually, I looked around online to see if I could find any like true, like in-depth study of the movie, but it doesn't look like anyone's done it. Maybe we could do it, I don't know, but
okay.
It's not really what this podcast is for.
Wanted to make a comment. I thought the movie was pretty straightforward, as we discussed from the get, you know, as soon as the movie starts, from the poem you can tell it's going to end in tragedy, so you almost feel fatigued mm-hmm. by that time the end rolls around with all the death. And it kind of reminded me of my experience reading 100 Years of Solitude, which I mentioned a little bit before. I also love that movie, love that book, but that was an exhausting book to read just for the same reasons. And I thought the film and the novel share a lot of similar elements. I highly recommend that book.
I shall check that book out. Speaking of like how it ends, mm-hmm. I wanted to point out one of my favorite shots of the movie.
Okay.
It's after, so Annabelle asks like one of his henchmen, I guess, to get people from Medellin to come and shoot up Rapier's house. So after they come through to the house and they just...
Demolish it, annihilate it, yeah.
Yeah, we'll just annihilate it with bullets and
a mortar, rocket launchers. Yeah.
Yeah, and then when they leave, you just have the house with the cloud coming in over from like the left side, smoke billowing out of the house. It's just a beautiful shot.
Oh, yeah. Wind and elements of wind and rain. And it was referred to before. Mm-hmm. I think in the poetry, they were talking about how the winds will wipe away the footprints of the people. So the wind and rain, they almost have like an erasing capacity. And so that's what's happening.
Exactly, yeah. And that's why he's like singing the story so that the birds will continue to sing it. So the birds will
carry the message and lessons.
Message alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like this is where like it kind of ties into the symbolism of what Rapayet is seeing this bird and like having conversations with it is maybe within the Wayuu culture that I could be totally wrong, but like, birds are like the messengers of them of the history or of memory,
mm-hmm.
and it lives within them.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's probably right.
Well, I have a question about I mentioned Annibal. He was Rapayet's cousin. He was basically the supplier of the marijuana, and he is his daughter, right? That gets raped by Leonidas, and he pretty much is, you know, hell-bent on getting revenge for that action. So did you think that he gives up everything, right? He gives up his business. He gives it up to his henchmen and says, here, you guys from Medellin can take the business. Just tell me where I can find Rapayet or Ursula or Leonidas. And what did you think of that? Like that he was so hell-bent on revenge? Because Rapayet, to avoid the war, does straight up say, like, hey, just take over everything.
Yeah.
We'll literally leave the business. 100% of everything will be yours.
Yeah, so he wasn't as, I guess, revenge-focused, or Rapayet wasn't as revenge-focused, even though he had nothing to avenge. But, you know, the slights of Annabelle, he could have sought revenge there. I thought Annabelle was just, like, a more traditional character who... was, I guess, dishonored or embarrassed, or I don't know how important that is to Wayuu culture, but from the film it seems to be very important.
I thought the interesting aspect of that was how both Rapayet and Annibal don't care, like money was not their number one priority for either of them.
Yeah.
Right? And they still like have this war. It wasn't about
money. It wasn't over like
it wasn't about power either. Yeah. It was about honor, right? At the end of the day.
Yeah. It was it was familial conflicts.
His main priority was family. And he says it early on in the movie too, like that's what he's gonna take care of. He's gonna take care of his family. So that was his main priority, and it seems Annabelle's main priority was, I guess, honor for his family. I mean, Annabelle, I felt like he had every right to be pretty upset because of Rapayet's initial decision.
But are you questioning the motivation to give up everything for that little bit of revenge?
Well, like, look, because initially Rapayet does not kill Moises when he was supposed to. Even by like the Wayuu cultural tradition, he was told you have to go kill Moises because he took the lives of two people. He doesn't, right? He lets him go, and that leads to Moises killing his cousin Gabriel, who is, I assume, Annabelle's brother or related to Annabelle's family. I don't know, cousin or brother or what. And Annabelle is already ticked off right there, and it takes a lot for Rapayet to mend their relationship, but it's clearly not the same after that. And then obviously the rape of his daughter is going to push him over the edge.
Yeah.
I thought he was totally okay to go after Rapayet and the family because it was like the second strike, and it was a big strike.
Mm.
I mean, both strikes were huge, basically, is what I'm saying.
And I like that scene where it's the henchman talking to Ursula, and Annibal is telling Ursula, speak to my henchman. I have no authority at this after I've
yeah
after
he's given it all up.
Yeah, and he's so humbled.
Yeah, he's so cause, and then the shot at the end too when he's when he goes and finds Raphael, it says him and a donkey.
Yeah, and he seems perfectly content with that, you know, just seeking yeah, his revenge.
It doesn't matter to him. Yeah. Well, let's talk about Ursula because clearly she's a major character. What did you think of her in general?
She was a strong character. She was willful. She generally got her way, except for one or two situations. Like, for example, when Raphael decides to go to the second wake of his cousin Gabriel, she didn't get her mm-hmm. way there. And that actually leads to the destruction of the family, right? That's where Leonidas sees Annabelle's daughter and the wheels are set in motion for, you know, the eventual tragedy.
Yeah.
Her character was great.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's what I was going to say. Ursula, I mean, she seems somewhat irrational, again, because she is living according to, like, that mystical lifestyle uh-huh. where she's basing her decisions on
yeah, and
like,
it's
on dreams or, like, the spirits and, like, et cetera, and, like, things that maybe other characters and us as viewers might not be able to understand, but she does seem to be right almost about everything.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, she was right about Gabriel's second wake. She was right about not letting Annabelle take Leonidas as a worker for punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And she was right about, oh, don't listen to, because Annabelle sends over a henchman to Raphael to tell him, like, hey, punishment is for Leonidas to come and work at the in the fields, and she's like, no, don't listen to him, they need to send a word messenger. And she was right about that too, and Raphael didn't listen. But yeah, like you said, she's a strong character,
and she
again she seems controlling.
Female perspective, right, of devotion to family. She seems to like imbue that on Raphael before, you know, he wasn't, Raphael was an orphan, right? He had his uncle. But he didn't seem at that point to be as connected to the YU tradition. And then when he marries into the family, you can see how Ursula is influencing him in his decisions and how he values his family more.
Yeah, so I thought, okay, I wanted to make one statement about Raphael and his initial struggle. I mentioned how he tells Ursula and Zaida that he is going to basically take care of the family. That's his number one priority. And I guess there's this confliction point where he has to choose between business and family. But in reality, it's the same decision, right? So when it comes to avoiding the war after Leonidas rapes Annabelle's daughter,
yeah,
he's not avoiding war. Like, it can be like seen as, oh, he's trying to avoid war to keep business going, to keep like the status quo flowing as it is. But it's more so he's trying to keep his family protected. And we know that because he doesn't care about the business and is willing to give all of it up. I just thought, like, he's a man of principle and he lives by it. And he doesn't even, when the time for his death comes, when Annabelle finds him, he doesn't particularly like find it saddening, or he's not scared.
He makes that comment that we were all dead already, something to that effect.
Yeah, that's when he makes the comment. So he's like, I was waiting for this almost, right? Like, do what you need to do.
Yeah.
Because at that point, in his eyes, he's probably already failed because he doesn't have his family anymore.
Yeah. Does he realize that they're dead at that point?
I don't know if he would know. Okay. But I would think he thinks that, yeah. I mean, I guess to him, whether they're alive or not, it doesn't matter, right? That's the point.
Yeah. Because they're lost to him. They're not with him. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
I think we already mentioned how the movie tries to keep the violence off screen as much as possible, except for that last scene, right? So that's something I really respected. It goes against the, like, the genre.
Yeah. And it's just as, like, harrowing to see or know what happened without actually seeing it happen.
Yeah.
A good example of that is when Leonidas decides to rape Annabelle's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we see him basically lurking on the property, and she's like enjoying an afternoon by the pool, and she goes inside and we see him come out, and like, you know, it just comes like, oh no, please no, don't do this. And like, you're thinking it, they don't show anything. The next scene, it just cuts, and this is where the music comes in, and they got like that really high pitch, like, I guess it's like a horn instrument,
yeah,
that's being played, a traditional like horn instrument that I don't know what it is or what it's called. And you just see Leonidas booking it, and he's just running, and you know exactly what happened. And it's just as like, it feels as if you just saw it happen, but you didn't, but you know it happened, and it feels like the feeling,
uh-huh,
what it's trying to convey still comes through. So yeah, like, there's just a lot of props to the direction,
yeah,
and the decisions made by the directors here.
Do you remember that horrible movie that we watched at the film fest with about World War II and that Jewish kid roaming the Polish countryside?
Yeah, The Painted Bird.
The Painted Bird, yeah. As horrific as it was, the movie also tried to keep as much of the violence off screen and in the viewer's imagination.
It did, except for a couple.
Except for a couple, yeah.
What would you say is your main takeaway from this movie?
My main takeaway? What do you mean?
I mean, I can tell you mine. My main takeaway was the Rapayette, specifically his struggle,
uh-huh,
with making money.
Oh, where the source of the conflict was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that doesn't have to be your main takeaway, but for me, that was the main takeaway. How it isn't even, again, about your traditional drug trade stuff, like loyalty, power, money. It's about honor and tradition, really. And whether you honor your tradition and if it like what the consequences are if you don't.
Yeah. And we see where his actions, because he didn't honor, or I mean, because he didn't follow the traditional ways of the YU, that led to tragedy, right?
Yeah. And according to Ursula, it's that he did business with the Alehunas, right?
So racist.
It is pretty racist. Well, yeah, I mean, from their perspective, I mean, they're seeing people come in and...
I mean, he's clearly not European, so she's clearly meaning the other meaning of Alehunas, which is like the destructive person.
Yeah,
or
destructive
whatever.
Force, yeah. Well, what did you think about this? So I thought this was a very interesting scene. It's actually pretty important, too.
Mm-hmm.
After Rapayette and the family, they secretly leave, right? Because they know that the Anibal's family is going to come and comfort them.
Yeah.
And Ursula... Oh, this is after Anibal has killed the word messenger, which is a cardinal sin in the YU tradition. So all the elders and word messengers of the other tribes of the desert, they come to Ursula. And even then, they're not willing to back up Ursula. And they say, you have to give up your talmans, the necklaces that she has.
Kind of like disassociating yourself from the YU community, yeah, right?
Basically,
and
yeah,
she
like,
agrees.
Well, exactly. She agrees to it because they do, then the YU people, they do go out and they kill Annabelle's family, right?
Yeah.
They seek revenge, and
they don't finish it off. They don't finish off Anibal in a completely botched job, right? You have all those.
Yeah, they miss him and the henchman driver.
Yeah.
But like, I just thought it was interesting how, like, again, this comes back to like honor and tradition, that they only go so far. Like, they're not gonna protect Ursula; they're just gonna go punish Annabelle for killing the word messenger.
Yeah, because
right? But
they're
not gonna protect Ursula. They also think Ursula is
corrupted,
has gone far beyond
the
tradition.
Yeah, they even mention how the word messenger was corrupted because he sought profit and wealth.
Yeah, just fascinating, man. It's just a fascinating movie.
Yeah, it is.
You just don't see this stuff.
So I'm looking forward to his next movie, but the next movie by this this was her first directorial movie, Christina Gallego.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to what these two produce later.
Yeah, I really like this movie. everyone should go and watch it.
Agreed.
All right, I think we're done here then, right, Fahad?
Yeah.
All right, thanks everyone for listening.
Thanks for listening.
We'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to this production of The Twice Over. If you haven't already, subscribe and follow wherever you get your podcast. And remember to support us on Patreon or by sharing the podcast with a friend. Feel free to contact us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at The Twice Over, or email us at comments@thetwiceover.com. All of the music you heard is from Amerigo Gazaway. Check him out on Bandcamp and Spotify.